Om Shanti. Good evening. It's 2008. I just was surprised writing in my notebook this morning, 2008. Really? 2008? Baba giving us signals that not just that little time is left, but we're moving into the final moments. And the signal for those final moments is to become unlimited, or to become constant, unending, to do things, to do everything without a break in between. You know, Baba used this word in the Murli, Akhand. You know, Akhand Mahadani, become a great donor, but Akhand means you do something and you don't break it in between. It continues. And so this is our theme today. And when, I just suggested that theme to Srila Ben, and I said, well, I'm giving class to myself. It's always the way, isn't it? And she said, well, you have so many examples. You have the daddies in front of you. I said, yes, can talk about that. But also there are many ways in which we all are aware of that stage and we aspire to it, even if we are not quite there. But it's very important to understand what it means, because sometimes I find when Baba puts something in front of us and we think, oh, how can I reach that, you know? And then when it's explained a little, or we discuss it a little, and you begin to see that, well, maybe it's possible. And if we are to move into that stage of really being unlimited, and I was, of course, watching Daddy Janki the last few days, and I suppose I've been watching her for the last 30 years or so. I've seen her change, certainly. And I just see now, especially since Daddy G passed, that she can't stop at all. In anything, in any way. And she's giving, she's moving, she's giving, she's doing, she's giving, she's speaking, she's giving. And even when she's resting, there's vibrations that she's spreading. And I know when I've seen Daddy, when she's not been too well, sometimes she will go into the way she has of healing herself. I've watched it. She will go into a very deep sleep, like so deep that you wonder whether the soul is in the body or not in the body. Thankfully, the soul's in the body. And that deep sleep spreads such a deep silence around. And you go even near her room and you feel that vibration. And so even then, she's still giving. And we see her in that stage where, you know, Baba talks about nothing is mine, being such a pure instrument, not having any thoughts of limitation. And, you know, Daddy's beyond any fear, just whatever inspiration comes to her, she'll share it. Just yesterday when she was giving the tuli, I don't know if you noticed, but it had already been decided that there would be just totally, there was only enough to give basically to mostly double foreigners and some of the Gyan Sarovanavasis. And then as it was being announced, Daddy's saying, well, it doesn't seem so good. And she would have said, Daddy, don't say that, we organized. But on the one hand, keep to a program. On the other hand, if you have an inspiration, she's not frightened to share it. This is what I feel, this is the inspiration. And so she shares it. Sorry? Translation's okay? And I said to Sheila Ben, you know, we've lived with Daddy for 30 years and she always changes the program, so you'll get used to it. Well, they know Daddy anyway, obviously. But I'm thinking about it for myself. How can I move towards that stage where really I'm giving and I'm constantly giving? And to do that, I really have to move into that very subtle level of consciousness that Daddy was talking about yesterday. And in the interview, she was really giving those responses of how to tune our consciousness in a very, very fine way. Because what is yoga actually? We say that yoga is about our thinking, but yoga is really about our feelings and our vibrations. I remember when, you know, we've been having the Amrit Vela points this year, and there was one point in which Baba said that world service will happen, or, you know, unlimited service will happen when all the Brahmins at Amrit Vela are in the same vibration. And that really touched me. You know, Baba didn't say one thought, because you can all sit with one thought, but sitting with the same vibration is something much deeper. Because I can have a certain thought, but if my attitude and the power in the soul is not fully behind that thought, the vibration will be different to another person who has that thought. And so it's not just a question of one thought, but the same vibration. And are we coming to that stage when we are all in that pure, unlimited vibration, where nothing creates a limitation for us? And that means that our consciousness is very subtle and our vibration matches Baba's vibration. Why do the daddies, why are they so close, you know? And we saw Dadiji, it was like, you know, if you remember the scenes, those of you who have seen her, when she would be with Baba, and especially when she was more fit, obviously, she would interact with Baba as an equal. Did you notice? She was the son, always playing that role. Baba, you know, her nickname in the family is Daddy Kumarka. It's sort of, over the years, it's gone more towards Daddy Prakashmani, which is her official name. But her nickname is Daddy Kumarka, and Kumarka means son. So Baba called her his son. So his heir, truly. And when Baba left the body and there was the cremation, she was the one. It's always traditionally the son who lights the first stick on the funeral pyre. And so it was Dadiji. And she would sit with Baba as an equal. She was very, so clear, so pure in her mind that her vibration was very, very close to Baba's vibration. And then at the end, of course, there was no difference. That's how she attained her Karmatit stage. At the end, Brahma Baba's vibration matched Shiv Baba's vibration completely. And then Dadiji matching that vibration completely. And now I see Daddy Janki moving into that. Then I see there are others too. So we have to be that subtle, that close. And there are so many things that bring us into limitation, aren't there? I know that sometimes I get frustrated with machines. The other day I lost an email that, oh, what's going on? Luckily, I don't react so much to people. Maybe I save it all for the machines, I don't know. But I was thinking to myself, you know, no matter what's happening, no matter what's going on, can I just stay so detached, so free, so loving? Because when a soul is really detached and not bound by anything, you feel that sense of unlimited love. That's what we felt from Dadiji, unlimited love. And, you know, I know in the last years she became very affectionate, you know. You'd come to her and she'd kiss your hand or kiss you on the cheek, and it was just so sweet, so sweet. The other daddy who used to do that was Shield Daddy. She would come and kiss you on the forehead. Very, very sweet, very loving. But you saw this with Daddy G. Love, love, love. And somebody had asked Daddy G just a few years back only, Daddy G, what is your current effort? And she said, my current effort is to act in such a way that I only draw blessings from the hearts of others. That was her effort. A very high level of effort. And that's different to pleasing people, you know? Some of us, I know I've been through this phase, certainly earlier on in my Brahmin life, where, you know, you really feel you want to please everybody. You want everybody to like you. Who feels like that sometimes? Yeah. And, you know, it's a bit of a trap. If you feel that you want everyone to love you and to like you, then you put yourself in bondage to everyone. And you're at their mercy, because then if they like you and they're pleased with you, you feel good. And if it's something else, you don't feel so good. You give only then according to the situation or according to the response that you're receiving. So your giving is not unending. You give and give, but if it's not reciprocated or you get negativity back, then it's not so easy to keep giving, because you want people to please you. You're not yet in that unlimited stage. Yes, it's good that you want to please people's hearts in that sense. It's better than setting up thinking, I'm going to go around today upsetting everybody. But there has to be something deeper in terms of giving. And what happens when we try to please everybody? Even when we're giving with a motive. What did Baba say on the 15th, when Baba was drawing our attention to the depth of karma philosophy? Baba was saying, accumulate on the basis of your own effort, maintain a constant stage of contentment, gain the stage constant coming in. And the third thing Baba said was, serve altruistically with a generous, unlimited heart. Now that's very different to pleasing everybody. When I'm pleasing everyone, my heart is actually quite small. It's like being in a jail, somebody described it once. You're in a jail, and when the jailer turns the key one way and lets you out, you're fine. Then the jailer turns the key the other way and locks you in, you're unhappy. We have to become free from that. And give something that will not just please the heart of a person, but would, to gain blessings from the heart of a person, take them into something more unlimited. Take them into another level for themselves. That's where you gain blessings. I remember when I had an email from, it was a few years back, and someone had sent an email with a question, and it was a little bit like sort of slightly complaining question. And I drafted a response, and as it was a senior person, I thought, I better show Daddy before I just send this response. And she looked at it and she said, well, you have just answered that query on the same basis on which it was asked. What have you put in your response to take that person into a higher level of consciousness? See? I learned a good lesson there. It was very interesting. And it was a lesson that stayed with me even when interacting with souls. Am I just answering them where they're at? And then I'll do what pleases them in a superficial way? Or do I have the courage to then be with them with a higher vibration? Not just take on their stuff and agree with it. When we're pleasing people, even if somebody complains about somebody else to us, we'll tend to agree. And we say, oh yeah, I understand, I know they're like that, yeah, sure. I'm not helping that person to go beyond the influence of the sanskaras they're being influenced by at that moment. I'm not actually being a donor. Well, I'm being a donor, but I'm not being a great donor, that's for sure. I may be giving something, but it'll be temporary. And so we get caught in these limitations. We get caught in limitations only because of our own needs and our own lack of self-respect. And remember the other day in the Murali, Baba was describing what it means to have royalty. Baba was describing the royalty of the deities. So to have so much royalty, and Baba was talking about how they speak little, you know. Sometimes we speak a lot, and again, we have a need to speak a lot. Sometimes, if you can't convince a person of something in a few words, you're not going to convince them of something in many words. You're just going to waste your energy. I had a situation, I don't know if I shared this in the last class, don't think so. Sorry if I did. But I was in a meeting and I knew that I had to bring in some changes to something. And I knew that there would be one soul who would have a lot of resistance. Did I mention this last time? No? Okay, good. You forget what you say when? I think in a smaller group somewhere I've mentioned it. And anyway, so I said, well, this is how I think we need to move, etc. And everybody was fine. Anyway, later on, when I got back to the office, later on that evening, I got this phone message from this person. And it was, you're this, you're that, I don't think what you did was right, da-da-da-da. Wasn't very pleasant at all. And so, just felt it for a minute, said, okay, right, just be detached. Picked up the phone. And I knew it was good to pick up the phone immediately because she'd left the Global Corporation House by then, because if I didn't pick up the phone immediately, you know, if you let something stay, it, you know, develops in your mind. Or the tension develops, the vibration builds. So I said, oh, I got your message. She said, oh, yes. And then she repeated the whole thing again. I said, oh, thank you very much. Okay, all right. Put the phone down. And you know, I was interested at my own response because I know a few years ago I would have tried to explain, I would have tried to justify in some way. But, you know, I didn't really mean it this way, this is why we had to do it, da 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 da. But I just decided, no, this isn't going to help. And I really just went to Baba, gave it to Baba, put it on Baba, and I changed my vibration from one of being affected to being in a state of self-respect and of giving loving vibrations. And so I just thought the way to deal with it is to change the vibration completely. Because if I keep explaining it, then I explain something, she'll have another thing to explain and so on. And I knew that then I would just stay in that same vibration of that limitation. And it was very interesting for me to see that I could do that, that I really didn't take on the sorrow, but I stayed in that more unlimited vibration. And then the soul was all right afterwards and, you know, things carried on. This is, you know, Daddy last night when she was saying, tell us one effort for us to be subtle in our awareness. And what did she say in one line? Put a full stop. And that's what putting a full stop means. If I want to become unlimited, unending, I have to have that practice in a very powerful way of putting a full stop. Because there'll be dozens of people around me. Everybody has their own set of sanskaras. Do you know anyone whose sanskaras are the same? No, they're all different. in London, it's a regular class of about 300 people. So you're interacting with 300 sets of sanskaras, right? And unless you can put a full stop, you'll be drowned. No, they're not all negative sanskaras, of course. But actually, the thing is that whatever a person's sanskaras, whether they're very positive, very negative, very in between, we get influenced. If we're in the vibration of getting influenced, we get influenced by anything. We get impressed or we get rejected, you know, one of the two. And so I have to have that practice of putting a full stop. And in putting a full stop, you learn two things, well, I suppose several things, but one is that you really feel the power of Baba's help. Because when you really put a full stop and you stop thinking about that thing or that person, then you get power from Baba. Because now Baba can reach you and you can reach Baba. You immediately get power from Baba. And the second thing is that you're able to see what part it is that you have played in that particular interaction or situation. Sometimes we think that we're always responsible. You know, they have that saying, for a very responsible person, anything that happens is always my responsibility. Well, that's also ego and body consciousness. You're not always responsible. Sometimes it is a fact that others take sorrow and you have not given that sorrow. But they have a sanskara of taking sorrow. And you have to, by putting that full stop, you make yourself free from guilt. From the guilt of always thinking, I've done this, I've done that, I'm so bad, I'm this, I'm that. Who gets into guilt syndromes? Probably a few people here. By putting a full stop, you don't get into guilt. Guilt is really useless. And there are people, there are Brahmins, let's be frank, who do have bitter sanskaras, and it seems that their religion is to give sorrow. And, you know, I have to be able to. And what did Baba say? Was it 15th October or 31st October? You've developed the power to tolerate, but not the power to merge. And that really struck me. And so, yes, we tolerate it. And we say, yes, I'm doing very well. I'm really managing. And, you know, that person is awful to me every day, but it's okay, I'm going to carry on, I'll get there, I'll get through, you know. I'm sticking at it, you know. Well, yeah, that's good. At least you're not running away and going somewhere else. So you have the power to tolerate, but it's only to a certain level. It's tolerating, but still your tolerance is connected to the other person. Rather than connect and dependent on the other person, your tolerance is not connected to the power of tolerance from Baba. So when you have powers, it's from Baba, the power of tolerance. When you're just tolerating, then it's dependent, it's actually a human power then. I remember once Baba asked, Daddy being asked the question, what's the difference between human virtues and divine virtues? Because you see many human beings who are virtuous, you know? They may not have gyan, but they're virtuous. Of course there are people, you know, with virtue in this world. We're not the, you know, we mustn't be have that mistaken self-righteousness and ego of thinking, well, only the Brahmins have virtues in this world. If you think like that, then your ego will soon lead you to see that there are others who are more virtuous than you. And she said, well, yes, there are those who have virtues, and they are very virtuous and they are very good in life. But those who have divine virtues have virtues that are filled with God's power. That's the difference. And the same with powers. You know, we can tolerate on a human level. But to really use the eight powers, they are filled with God's power. And if I'm really tolerating, then I have the power to merge it. I have the power to put the full stop and not go back to it. Then I can really say I have the power to tolerate. And then the result of that is, too, that I can be loving towards that person who has, you know, given me that test of whatever kind. And the biggest test that we have is samskaras. We run away from people's samskaras. It's just a fact. If everybody was nice all the time, well, life would be very easy, but life's not like that. But then where would we gain any power? You can sit in a corner and think that you're perfect, and then, you know, when you step onto the field of service, then you get to know how perfect you are. Why does Baba give us service to do? So that we really begin to see our samskaras. And it's only in service or in interacting with many that we really see our own samskaras. Why? Because we're faced with many samskaras and we react to those many samskaras. And our reactions are our own samskaras. So we blame other people, but actually it's our samskaras that are reacting, right? So really having the power to put a full stop, the power to merge, the power to be introverted, and to deeply go into Baba's vibration. So then nothing from the external can then touch me. And I know in the last couple of years there's been certain situations with certain souls that I really wonder how Daddy has coped with it. Of course, I'm not going to tell you the details. But I've watched her and she's been so unaffected by it, Daddy Jenki. I have admired her so much because the situation's going on here and it's something quite major for her to deal with. And yet the next second, she's there giving, whether it's giving class, whether it's giving to souls, whether it's... There's no residue that she carries from that thing she's just dealt with. Now that's the power to merge in a big way. You know, something major has happened, and you don't carry the residue of it in your consciousness. How many of us are at that stage? I'm not... But at least I recognize it. And at least I can see that it's possible, and at least I know this is where I have to go. And I can do it for certain things, but not for everything yet. But that's such a powerful stage. And so becoming unlimited, unending, in every way, we then have to be ever ready for anything. I've lived at certain times with Sudesh Didi, and of course you all know her. And something that would always strike me, if she was sleeping and you went to wake her up for something, of course you try not to wake a person up if they're sleeping, but if there was something urgent, and I would just have to tap and say, Sudesh Ben, always, always her response when she opened her eyes was, yes, please. I was so touched by that. I thought, if somebody wakes me up from a deep sleep, I'd say, what do you want? And Sudesh Didi, I learned something so much from it. It's always these words, yes, please. In other words, I'm ready, even though she's been in the deep sleep. Very touching. And even when we're awake and somebody interrupts us, we don't always say, yes, please. We say, whoa, whoa. So, being ever ready, being ever sweet, being ever kind. So in every way, being ready. And that doesn't mean being only ready for the things that I want at the time when I want them. It means being ever ready, period, as they say. So can I bring myself to that point? And for that we need a lot of yoga power and a lot of self-respect. And in my experience, it's only possible to be in that kind of stage when I am able to have powerful Amrit Vela. And now that's the first thing to make constant. And again, I'm sure I have said this, but I'll repeat it because it's worth repeating. When Baba was meeting a few of us in March, Baba, and I felt Baba was giving me drishti, particularly at that moment, Baba said, at Amrit Vela, let your self-respect emerge, let your original qualities emerge. And I was very, very touched by that. You know, when something goes straight in you like an arrow. And when I got back to London, that's what I practiced for quite a long time and still practice it many times. Not just at Amrit Vela, other times too. And that practice, you know, like we've been saying, God says it and you do it. There's power in that. Timing is important. You say it, God says it and you do it, you know, a year later, it'll be fine, but it won't have the same power. So I really practiced it and it helped me so much. It really made quite a lot of changes in me, subtly inside. And I know that whenever there is something that needs to shift inside, it's absolutely the power of Amrit Vela that can do it. And I need to sit with a single thought. When I say sit with a single thought, not many thoughts, one aim in mind, at least for a period of time. And as I say, when I was sitting with that, I was just sitting with that one thought, just that one awareness, so that your awareness then becomes very subtle. That thought becomes very subtly, comes into your consciousness and awareness, so that your consciousness becomes very, very pure, and you're immersed in that, and you gain the power from Baba for that. It's much more powerful to do that kind of thing than to sit churning in Amrit Vela. Certainly much more powerful than to sit having a service conversation with Baba in Amrit Vela. You know, there's all sorts of things come in the mind at Amrit Vela. And yes, sometimes the touching can come. And then you say, okay, Baba, fine. But then you park it. You know, you get a touching for something. And then there's the temptation to then keep thinking about it. Oh, great, yes, I can do this. No. Baba gave me a touching. Okay, fine, Baba, later on. Now let me get back to what I need to do. And in fact, the time for touchings is just after Amrit Vela. Because something that Daddy often used to talk about, when she left Madhuban to come to London, she said, Baba, what am I going to do there? You know? And Baba said that you go there and create a model of Madhuban, which we know she has done completely. And then Baba said that when you go there, there'll be a special room that you will create, Baba's room. And just as now, you will come in front of Baba to ask Baba and to seek advice from Baba. In the same way, in that special room, you'll sit in front of Baba and Baba will give you touchings. Baba will give you advice. And that special room was actually created in 1975. Daddy came in April 74, and it was, I think, about a year later. So they had that little, those of you who've been to London, you know, 98 Tennyson Road, there were two rooms, cold, damp rooms where Daddy used to stay, a downstairs flat. And then in 75, about a year later, they got the next door house because the activities were increasing and they were looking all over London where to have a centre. And it was the house next door that became available. And the lady, fortunately, unfortunately, of course, she left the body. And then the house was on the market, so they, actually before it went on the market, were able to get it. And just before she'd left the body, she'd extended the kitchen and she'd painted the whole house white. So it must have been a touching to prepare it for Baba's children. And so then when they got that house upstairs, and some of you would have been to that little Baba's room, and it's a very powerful little Baba's room, there was, is the translation still on? Oh, it's on. Yes, okay. In that little Baba's room, that little room, there's a trance light. And this was a trance light that came from Baba's room in Madhuban that Dadiji gave her. And that trance light, now it's in the middle, but it used to be in the corner, set in the corner with a blue background. Now it has a white background. And we would sit for Amrit Vela for that. But Daddy, she would sit, those days she would sit on the floor. And after Amrit Vela, she would just spend time conversing with Baba. And it was from that room that World Service was planned. And so that room till today has a very special power. And Daddy loves to go there from time to time. I know now in London, January, she'll definitely make a visit there. Diwali, 18th January, Rakhi, any special time, she goes on a pilgrimage of all the places. And she's so particular about it. But that Baba's room, I know, is still very, very, very special to her. And that Baba's room will never go anywhere. It'll always be there. So after Amrit Vela is the time when there can be special conversation and touchings. And imagine, now I'm going back into history, but you know, imagine what it was like for Daddy. So close to the Yajna, coming to London, not being able to go back to Madhuban for four to five years. How would you feel? How would I feel if someone said to me, you can't go to Madhuban for 5 years? What would you? Some of you I know only come after a few years, so. But for Daddy, she couldn't come. It was to get her residency, and she knew she had to stay abroad for service. And, of course, always the fruits of renunciation are extremely, extremely sweet. And so how close she stayed, how much she stayed in Baba's vibration during those days. And, you know, the proof of that yoga power, that she didn't need anything physical. She always stood on her own 2 feet. And this is part of this whole training to be unlimited and to be unending and unbreakable in our effort and what we do. When I was leaving Madhuban last time, there was just a few of us together with Daddy, and she was sharing the story of how Baba made her stand on her own 2 feet. And she was sharing how she had been sick, and she'd been sick for several months. She had very bad asthma in those days. This was the Yajna time, so she herself was a patient at that time. And she was in a room with two other women. And one of them was Didi's mother, and another, I forget who she mentioned. And Mama and Baba came in the room, and Daddy had been sick for a long time. And they went to the other patients, and Baba gave them drishti, but Baba didn't even look at Daddy. I thought, oh my God. And then someone asked Daddy, Daddy, didn't you even feel a little bit of sorrow? She said, no. Baba wanted me to take everything subtly from Shiv Baba. Baba knew that I could be ready to not be dependent on anything. Baba wanted me to be totally independent. And so this is how Baba trained me to stand on my own 2 feet. and I really, that touched me, and you know, when I came back, this again was something in my mind. Am I so free, so settled in my awareness, that I can truly stand on my own two feet? Whatever attention I get or I don't get, and we all need attention on some level, but whatever attention I get or I don't get, can I stand on my own two feet? And do I have that royalty and that stage where I really don't need anything? Because it's only when I'm in my self-respect, when I'm without any needs, which is really the deity stage, then I'll be able to go beyond limitations and stay beyond limitations. It's only our own needs that bring us into limitations. And something that I also am very aware of in Dadi is how she has freed herself from any bondage or identification with the past. And, you know, of course, we, as I mentioned last time, we still, it's so important to keep that connection with our families, to serve them, to give them a good feeling, you know, that we care for them and so on. But internally, I have really taken a new birth with Baba. Because I can only serve them when I am free in an unlimited way. And then it's a very new and different relationship, and a very sweet relationship. It's not a cold relationship, it's a very warm relationship. And a lot of people I know after Gyan, their relationships with their families have improved hugely. Because I'm able to give. I no longer need. You know, what does attachment mean? Attachment means I take some sustenance. I only need sustenance from Baba. And then yes, I can have cooperation from the support of the family, but my sustenance is from Baba, and my sustenance is also through being in the gathering, but through being with Baba in the gathering. Not only by being with others in the gathering. By just being with Baba alone, it won't be complete sustenance. But by being with Baba in the family, in the gathering, there will be complete sustenance. So, but I see this in Dadi. So free, that even something of yesterday, even something of a minute ago, she no longer identifies with. When I was just practicing to some extent what Baba was saying in the Murali on the 31st, just a few days ago, Baba saying, use everything in a worthwhile way. Then as I was thinking that, every breath, every step, it was just focusing me on Baba and keeping me in the present with him. My stage is not based on the past. My stage is not based on the future. My stage is based on this moment. And yes, if I accumulate from the past, it'll give me power in my stage now. But this moment, what is the quality of my attitude, thoughts, feelings, vibrations, powers, everything, as Baba mentioned. So to really come into that unlimited stage, to really have a clear line, and let's all do it from now, no matter what the past has been, we can do it from now, to be so free, then I really need more than anything that power to merge. That power to put a full stop, to make myself very, very strong inside, very powerful inside, so that I don't get affected and influenced this way and that way. I stay fully in my stage of self-respect. I stay in my stage of royalty. And then Baba can really use me as an instrument. And I'll be a very cheerful instrument. If I'm a sort of glum instrument, if I don't have that cheerfulness and that lightness, then I'm not free inside. Again, Dadiji, her lightness, her cheerfulness, her playfulness was incredible, always. And I remember it was 93, and excuse me, she had come to Bangalore, which is in South India, and there was a big interfaith event there. It was that year of 100 years since the Parliament of the World's Religions. So I was working with the people, the organisers, and so I was there in Bangalore, and then Dadiji, you know, beforehand, and then Dadiji came. And it was held in the Ashoka Hotel. Baba talks about the Ashoka Hotel in the Muralis. And when Dadiji walked in the hotel lobby, she had such royalty, such humility, that it was like, it wasn't sort of physical, but it was like everybody parted somehow. Everybody just looked at her. And it was amazing to watch. And, you know, everybody gave her so much respect. She didn't ask for respect. The minute you ask for respect, you don't get it, or the respect that you get is very cheap. But when you don't ask for respect, then you get something very rich in return. And of course, the other quality, which is implicit in what we've been saying, but of course is there, that total humility. I can only put a full stop when I have humility, when I'm egoless. Otherwise, my ego will want to carry on the justification. I won't be able to put a full stop. So the three words Baba gave us when he left: be egoless, be incorporeal, be viceless. Very beautiful. The three words Dadiji gave us when she left: be an instrument, be humble, and have pure speech. Baba seems to like threes. Threes seem to be important. And sometimes just repeating these words in your consciousness just makes you feel so good. Everything depends on our thought. When we're thinking one way, we feel good. We let our waste thoughts come, feel different. Keep having elevated thoughts. I know for myself, when I have elevated thoughts, my whole experience of life is different. So, that's some ways in which we can reach that stage. Anybody got any questions? Or nearly seven, but is there any burning questions? Questions or comments? Yeah. Can you shout out? Now repeat the question. Okay, the question: how can a person get sorrow if you're not giving? You know, Baba had mentioned in a Murali once about the Dadis, excuse me, and saying that the Dadis, it was something like, everybody loves the Dadis, but there'll always be a small percentage who, you know, will have something negative. And if a person is very critical in nature, is quite negative about themselves, then it is possible that they can take the sorrow without you giving it. But only if really, truly, you are very pure inside. Because you're quite right that usually there's a trace of something in an attitude that has given the sorrow. But sometimes you know that, you know, your heart is completely clean, and it's something in the soul that has taken that because of their own sanskaras and their own karma. Two examples of this. This one has gone away. Yeah, yeah. Daddy Janki was in Poland at one point. He East, I think it was Poland, and there was a woman there. Daddy was giving her talk and her usual bubbly self and whatever. And there was a woman there who was quite depressed. And so as Daddy was talking, she was getting more and more unhappy and more angry. And finally she burst out and she said, "What right have you to be so happy when I'm so miserable?" And then Daddy said to her, and you see, now Daddy didn't say, "Oh, what did I do?" No. Daddy just said to her, "If I also became miserable, who would there be to bring you happiness?" And it just shifted that woman. It just changed her. It just helped her to come into a new way of being. So that's one example. But yes, of course, we can't move into this thing of saying, "Well, they take sorrow, you know, I'm nothing to do with it," because then that can be a trap. But there are situations where my heart is totally clean. The other example, a story Daddy tells, she was at a spiritual community. This was in Scotland. And one person came to talk to her and said, "Daddy, I'm very unhappy because I gave my friend some advice in good faith and he followed that advice, but then things turned out very badly for him and I feel very bad about it." And then Daddy said, "Okay, is that person here?" I said, "Yes." So then the two of them came in front of Daddy. And Daddy asked the other person, "He's your friend, would he want to give you sorrow?" And the person said, "No, not at all. Whatever sorrow I gained was what was coming to me anyway." And Daddy was explaining that in terms of karma sometimes, there may be a little thing that triggers something, but the sorrow we experience is actually to do with the sorrow from other karmic accounts, not necessarily that thing that's in front of us. So, you know yourself, you may say a little thing and you know, maybe you don't mean anything, but maybe there is a little thing you say, but then the reaction from the other person is completely out of proportion to what you said. Or vice versa. Somebody does a tiny thing and you blow your top like anything, you know? And you realize that your reaction is completely out of proportion to the thing that caused the reaction. Why? Because the karma or the sorrow is to do with the sorrow and the karmic accounts in the soul. It's not actually to do with the thing in front of you. So Daddy had explained that and I found that very helpful. And of course then it's very important to be so pure and so altruistic in my motives that, you know, I don't even trigger anything in anybody else. But there are those situations. Yeah. Okay, so let's go into our meditation and let's practice, putting the full stop, being beyond, being in the unlimited. And let us really, really, in our consciousness, tune into Baba's vibration. Om Shanti. Thank you.